Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another podcast of What Are We Missing? So today I have a special guest, Dr. Tarver. She is a licensed psychologist who is coming on to share some insight on what we're missing in today's youth. This was a special treat, great conversation, an amazing woman. This was a special treat to end off this series of What Are We Missing? This is the last episode for this series. I am excited to get back into my nonprofit ventures with Born to Create, being more hands-on. But before I did that this year, I really wanted to dive deeper into what was going on with our youth. It all goes hand in hand. Now it's my time to give back and serve the next generation, that they need us more now than ever. So I'm excited to expand that vision and do more in the nonprofit and LLC. Hopefully we'll have another series of What Are We Missing? I'm going to let God lead in that. But in the meantime, I hope you enjoy this conversation with Dr. Tarver on what we're missing with our youth today. Thank you for watching. Hello, welcome to another podcast of What Are We Missing? My name is Renisha Nicole. I am your host. And just to give a little feedback, a little information of who I am, I have a nonprofit through Born to Create. And this nonprofit serves our youth. It is one that caters to the youth. If anyone knows me, they know that I am passionate about children. I've always been passionate about our youth. So this podcast, What Are We Missing, is just giving tools and tips to our community of how we can better support and help our youth in this generation. There is a gap with being hands-on. So I have different guests come on, and today we have Dr. Tarver. I'm excited to have you as a guest. Thank you again for coming on.
Absolutely.
If you don't mind introducing yourself.
Yeah, for sure. I am Dr. Cherie Tarver Silva Sinnett. I am a licensed psychologist. I've been in the mental health field for over 10 years, but a licensed psychologist for the last five. I've worked in several states in community-based hospital, correctional settings. I've worked with diverse populations with various needs, including trauma, anxiety, depression, identity challenges, conduct-related issues, persistent severe mental illness, and I'm currently working with youth and families involved in the justice system.
Awesome. Awesome. You're the perfect person to have on then. I met you through my husband. So again, thank you for coming on. I'm just going
to
ask you.
Shout out to Mr. Will.
Right? I'm going to ask you just a few questions from your perspective. So the first question I have for you is, from your perspective, what are the most pressing mental health issues affecting today's youth, especially in the Black community?
Yeah, good question. So in thinking about this question, I don't necessarily talk about the diagnoses, but more of what we're seeing, right? Because those are, we don't have to diagnose it to have a mental health challenge. And so what I'm seeing in our kids is like constant exposure to everything. Like there is like, you know, nothing is off limits. They have access to it all, which impacts how they develop, which impacts their perspective, which impacts how they deal with different things. And especially with things that are in the state of our society today, kind of this constant state of stress and expectations that they're having to deal with, not necessarily knowing what wellness is or what it looks like. And everybody has their own perspective of that. So these things contribute to a lot of the things that we diagnose, like anxiety, depression, ADHD, academic challenges, the whole gambit. You know, it's important, I think, that we look at what contributes and why these things develop along with what they are. Because we also have to look at, especially in the Black community, like what we have access to, right? Lack of resources, lack of opportunities. And they're there, but there's a lot of things that's keeping it from our community. And so how do we help to access those things, which will help with stress, which will help with various challenges, which will also probably alleviate some of these stressors and the way that we see people coping with it, help them to manage better. So that's what a lot of what I'm seeing, along with higher rates of some diagnoses, in our kids and how they're, managing those things, which leads to further challenges.
I love that. So when you say exposure, like I have 12-year-old twin boys, and it's difficult to really know what is too soon, what there is too early to expose them to, or what is age appropriate. I think even with us, the transitioning in life, we used to, we don't want to hold them back, but we also don't want to overexpose them. So when you say exposure, you're referring to like social media, movies,
Yep,
music.
social media at school, in community settings. Each of us have a different experience that we bring, and we can't always control the interactions or the exposure to things in social media or that others might talk about with our kids. And so, it's important that we pay attention, that we're in their lives, that we're communicating with them just to know so that, we can manage how they interact and how they respond to those things.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, I am trying to keep them from video games as much as I can.
Look,
They
look.
love it though.
I have two boys that are young. They are 4 and 6, and they love video games, and they love, iPads, and it's so attracting to our kids and the way that it's created and it's made. And I can control what I see. I control when and how much I can do, and so it appeals
That's
to
good.
them.
That's true. I didn't think about that.
And it takes, again, a lot for us. And so that being around, being able to see,
Monitoring.
like with iPads, for example, we love them. Why? Because our kids are quiet on the side. And so we're able to do some things, but it's also important that we're
To
watching,
be
that
aware.
we give them that rope, that independence, but also knowing that they still need us to be there.
That's good.
It's kind of balancing independence and dependence, right, as our kids are growing.
That's good. That's good. Okay, second question is, how do trauma and systematic challenges and generational cycles impact the mental well-being of young people? So systemic challenges, such as like work, trying to get a job, young black men trying to get hired, just the systemic chains or challenges that are holding us back. How does that impact their mental health?
Absolutely, it impacts. I feel like the word of today is going to be like exposure, because exposure to different things can lead and contribute to trauma, but also how we deal with it, how we cope with it. Exposure impacts systemic challenges and how we feel and cope with those
That's
things.
true. Even
And our
positive exposure.
generations,
Sorry.
exactly, and our generations expose us to how we deal and cope with things. So it's important to know that all of these things impact how do we deal? How do we get through day to day? How do we manage different situations, right? Like, how do we get to that other side of it? Because it's a lot of stress, a lot of uncertainty, and so just overwhelming, right? Increasing
Right.
anxiety, increasing mood issues, increasing levels of stress on our youth, and having to hold these issues and figure out how to deal with them because they're also kids. And we know that kids are developing up to age 25.
Absolutely. That's
That
good. I'm
brain
glad
is
you
not
said
fully
that.
developed. And so they're having to deal with stressors while they're developing. And it's already hard as a kid that doesn't have to face these things. And so when you have a kid that's facing that, especially at critical periods of certain development, you have language, you have reasoning, you have understanding, you have judgment. When you have traumas or stressors or systemic challenges or generational issues that are happening at these critical periods, expect to see challenges in those areas for our kids and how they continue to grow up. We know that as you develop, the parts of your brain that you pay attention to or that attention is given is going to develop more. And so, for example, with kids who have trauma or challenges related to systemic things that lead to lack of, there is more attention that's paid to your survival part of your brain, to your emotion part of your brain. And so the your prefrontal cortex or your cortex that deals with judgment, insight, knowing right from wrong, how you pay attention, it doesn't get as much attention there, for lack of better words. And so you're going to respond and react. And a lot of times those things are mislabeled as ADHD,
HD.
right? As conduct disorders, when it might be that this kid is, that's just how they know how to deal because that's the attention that was paid to in their development.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. And I also, in speaking of that, when kids go through these things, I think it's also important to validate their experience, to let them know that we see them where they are and what they're going through, while also trying to help them deal with it, right? Helping them understand what's in their control and out of their control, and that it's possible to be able to manage these things versus sweep it under the rug the way that a lot of us just know how to do, especially in generations, right? With that's just how we deal with things, or that's fine. You're not gonna, that's gonna be fine. That's just what we do, or we don't talk about that outside of this house. The generational pieces that fit in that are protective, that have been created and maintained for a reason. And we also have to acknowledge that sometimes that's not the best way to deal with certain situations, and there's other ways.
That's good. That's good. Just a side question.
Yeah.
What would you suggest as positive exposure? I know we have a lot of negative exposure, but what is
Absolutely. Positive exposure, you have it in families, you have successful individuals. There's a lot of families who are not afraid to talk about the things that they go through, are not afraid to have those conversations with their kids about what they like, what they don't like, about the stressors that they've been through. I think we have a lot of determination, a lot of resilience in our communities. Nobody can break our connections. Like, you can try to do all that you want. Black folk gonna come together. We will figure it out. Like, we will make it work. We will make something out of nothing.
So like
And that's
community groups.
exactly. Yep. Organizations that are out there, people like you who are getting the exposure, creating avenues for people to hear and access this information that wouldn't necessarily get that in
That's
other
good.
ways.
Amen.
And there's just so much positivity, and opportunities for our kids is, again, just increasing that access and opportunity for
That's
them.
good. That is good. I think we get comfortable as parents, like you said, when we want to keep our child quiet and kind of give them a tablet or, just allow them to be out. Like me and my husband were walking in the neighborhood the other day, and we were like, all of these kids, where are their parents? Like, you don't know what they're getting exposed to. You don't know what they're getting into out here. So I think like you said, one, being a guardian, and then two, being more hands-on and exposing them to those positive atmospheres. That is good. Okay. I'm gonna go ahead and go on to the next question here. Are you seeing an increase in anxiety and depression among Black youth? And if so, what do you think is contributing to the rise?
Yes. So I'm not sure if it's more of an increase or more that it's actually being recognized and diagnosed as it should, and less mislabels versus actually saying, hey, this Black kid has anxiety. They have depression. They're dealing with something. Like,
That's
something's
good.
changing in them. And so it's more normalized. And so that's what I'm seeing more of. And people actually being able to recognize it in themselves helps our kids to know that it's okay, you can go through these things and it's not anything bad about
It
you.
breaks
It's being
that.
more destigmatized, I believe.
Okay, that is good.
Yeah. And, we're not, as I said, avoiding it as much, challenging the stigmas of what comes with that, right? Where people are being more in their soft air. I know there's a lot for Black women and girls to be in soft air, but I think that's just Black people as a whole. Like being able to let me feel my feelings. It's okay to have
Cope.
those feelings and challenge those myths of I have to be strong, right? I can't cry, tears are
Oh
weak,
yeah, that's good.
which is protective. And we were taught that for a reason. And I think people are starting to challenge those things and ask why and allow themselves to have normal reactions to experiences rather than labeling those reactions as abnormal. Viktor Frankl has a quote. He actually says, abnormal responses in abnormal situations are actually normal behaviors.
Normal.
It's normal, right?
Right.
And so a lot of the things that we see as different or other make sense within their context.
Absolutely.
And so as we see these things in context, I think that's really leading to the rise of anxiety and depression and just the fact of, again, our society, our communities, our families, all the things that people are having to experience now that they're not necessarily shielded from definitely contributes to that rise as well.
That's good. Okay. Now, you did mention the soft era of women. I want to ask a question about even with the kids. We have something that we know women resort to, but with kids and what I do with Born to Create, I like to do expressive type of therapy or paint creativity. How
Yes.
do you, sorry, it's a side question, but
It's
is
okay.
that something that can help, like just to provide a safe outlet? To
Yes.
for them to just create and be themselves and let
Yes.
out. It's almost like I'm letting out some of what I've been bottling up in me,
Yep.
throughout the week.
Absolutely. Yes, there are so many different things, and I think one of the most important things is asking that kid and exploring what are things that you like, what are things that you enjoy, what are things that give you joy, right? What are those things that bring you happiness where you're in this moment and it's like you are nowhere else in the world? I had a kid that I was working with. He was like, when I'm on the basketball court, it's like I'm in basketball heaven. Like nothing else matters to me. A
That's
kid that had
awesome.
so many struggles can find this passion and this joy in this thing that can keep them from going back to what they were doing.
Absolutely.
When we
Ooh,
can
that's
find
good.
that for our kids, it's so important. Being able to express is just as good as talking to somebody. There's so many different ways to heal, right? To have increased wellness. And so,
That's good.
like you were saying, with the arts, dance, poetry, singing, sports, basketball, swimming, volleyball, anything
These are
that
ways to
someone can
decompress.
express, right? Decompress, be around others, right? Whatever that might be for them. But I think tapping into that part of your brain impacts that mind-body connection because it's not separate. All of these things are connected.
Ooh, okay, that's
And
good. I'm
so
glad you
when we
said that.
do, it affects our mind just as much as when we think affects what we do.
Absolutely. That's good. That's good. Okay. I'm gonna go ahead and move on to the next question before we run out of time. Okay, number four, how can parents, educators, and mentors better recognize early signs of mental distress in kids and teens?
So a lot of it is paying attention, right? We want kids to pay attention. We have to pay attention to them too, to the kids,
That's
to
true.
the adolescents. It's important to educate ourselves on what is, typical, normal adolescent development, adolescent kid development. What are those things that we should be seeing with them? And if we're seeing something different, well, what's going on? Educating ourselves on mental health diagnoses or the things, the presentations that we might see in kids. And for example, are they with you more? Are they withdrawing more? With anxiety, you might see nervousness or avoidance, but you could also see perfection and over control. With depression, you might be the sadness or lack of interest in things that you used to do. You might also see irritability, right? In ADHD, you might see some hyperactivity, or you might be someone that sees someone that can sit still, but is not able to focus.
Drifting.
Or with trauma, you might see nightmares, changes in mood and cognition, avoidance of things, and even with suicidality, right? Someone might not always leave a note. It could be that they're more happy when their mood was really down for a while, or they're starting to give away different things and their prized possessions because they've made the decision and they've come with agreement with that I'm ready to go. And so, they want to end that pain. They want to release them. So knowing that these things can present in so many different ways, it's helpful to be able to pay attention to those things and noticing when there's critical events, big events that are happening with family, friends, in the community, in society, and knowing that that's going to affect all of us, and being
I've
mindful to talk with our
had that
kid
conversation. Ooh,
about
that's
it.
good.
Exactly. And listen, don't brush those things off. It's okay to ask questions, right? You were talking about earlier how with your kids, you're trying to figure out how much do I let you go? How much I pay attention. And so we often ask ourselves as parents, well, should I ask that question? Like, should I check in with him? Yes, you should.
Good. Good to
They might
know.
say, Mom, I'm fine, just leave me alone. But they know that you're there and they know that you're there to care. And that's for parents, educators, mentors. It's just being present and just asking the question. It's not being nosy. It's
No, that's
being
good
curious and letting them know
information.
that you're there for them.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that, even for me, because again, it's a little touchy. I have boys, I'm a girl. So yeah, but I mean, I think the family dynamic, like you said, having these conversations, sitting down, taking the time out to really show them that we care, you know? Okay,
Absolutely.
number five, what are some practical ways families and communities can create safe spaces for youth to openly discuss mental health?
Yes. So I think the biggest thing, again, like we talked about before, talk to the kids because they have ideas of what is safe for them. We can think that we know because, we were there before, I was a kid before, right? We think we know what creates that safety, but it's really asking them because it's more about the felt safety and feeling safe than me saying that this is a safe space for you.
Okay, that's good.
And so also it's important that we provide that consistency and predictability in whatever we're doing. Having structure, having schedules where you can. Not everybody can do that. But whatever consistency you
Being
can provide, your
consistent.
kid knows that you're going to hug them every night. They know that you're going to ask about their day. They know that on the weekend, y'all might do something together. Having that consistency creates safe spaces. And again, as kids get older, they might push back, but they really crave that structure and that
Attention.
nurturing. Talking to kids about emotions, about your day, about challenges and successes you've had. Again, how often I was talking to someone or I was listening to something, and they're like, what does your kid know about you? And I was like, I know a lot about my kid.
Other than what
What
they
does my
see,
does my kid
right?
know what I like?
That's
Do they even know what
true.
I
Do
do,
they know my
where I
background?
work, what I enjoy? And so in order for us to create a safe space for them, they have to know us. We have to share and be willing to talk about these things and talk about mental health and let people know that therapy or whatever wellness practice you use is okay. It's not saying that there's something wrong with you, and it's being honest with our kids, especially for our communities and community providers, right? Being honest about what you can share, and if you do choose to share these things, where that information might go. Because us as adults, especially in Texas, are all mandated reporters. And so we have to be mindful that we want to create these safe spaces, and sometimes there's things that come with those. And if we're transparent with it, then that's again giving kids that open opportunity to choose, providing opportunities to connect in person, right? To do things together, having community events with the
Yes.
schools, with organizations, or even just
Okay.
your neighborhood, that you feel safe in, having things with family. All
Like
of those, I think,
bowling.
are helpful. And again, like the trend on social media, we listen, we don't judge. So having that open space
Oh, that's
and kind of like
good.
that open door.
I'm thinking, like, when you say going out with families, like just developing that trust. I think we don't do that enough, like like we used to do growing up, going bowling, going to theme parks, going to just activities that we can all do as a family. I think that takes down that awkwardness, especially in teens, and that guard, to be able to just develop an atmosphere where they can kind of be free to
Absolutely. Because
communicate.
with teens, especially doing something, you can always talk to them more when they're doing something versus sitting right in front of you. Like, well, talk to me. So, playing a game together, walking together, going to get something
Painting,
together. It doesn't have to be anything that costs
Yes,
because we
that's
have to
good.
budget.
Yeah, that's
We
true.
can't just
That
be out there.
is true.
And so you can, anything can be spending time with somebody.
That's good. Okay, next question. Thank you for all of this information. This is really good information. Okay, how can faith-based communities and churches be more intentional about supporting mental health without ignoring spiritual principles? I know for a long time, it was only spiritual principles, of course. And now that we're having this conversation about mental health, how can we even invite that into our spiritual life or in the churches, in faith-based communities, things like that?
Absolutely. That is a question. Let me tell you. I love it. I think one way that'll help to kind of bridge that gap while still maintaining true to spiritual principles is finding the balance. And recognizing that there's a common goal in mental health and in our spirituality to help people through trying times, right? To help them find support, to see themselves with a different future, to help people heal and have a whole mind, body, and spiritual being.
That's good.
And so we're all working towards that same goal
Goal.
for people, whether they're in therapy or whether they're in our church congregations. Those things are not disconnected. So our spiritual health impacts our mind and body health and vice versa. In one of the approaches I use, it talks about wise mind. And that's really the kind of your wisdom, right? Your guidance, your little angel that's on your shoulder, and paying attention to that and listening to that when you're making decisions or when you're dealing with emotions or, talking and communicating with people. And if we're looking at spirituality, that's paying attention to the Holy Spirit, right? To the Word of God as He's speaking through us. So there's many similarities where
That's
people
good.
try to create separation there and how we deal with coping. Prayer is a coping mechanism. I could pray to the Lord Most High.
It sure is. Amen. You're releasing it.
And that helps people get through some trying times. When we talk about generations, our grandparents and great grandparents, oh, prayer was it. And
it.
it's coming back. And, listening to music and how it affects you, all of those things connect the two. And so I
That's
think one thing that's helpful is noticing those similarities. I think it's also
good.
being okay with talking about the effects of mental health and coping and wellness, right? Decreasing shame and blame to someone who might be dealing or coping with something, and having that non-judgmental understanding that two things can exist at the same time.
Yes,
They
yes,
don't have
yes.
to be at odds. Being willing to explore mental health while still holding your boundaries. A church can have a boundary and limits that they're not willing to cross while still exploring the things that affect the people that make up their church.
Yes, that's
Because
good.
a lot of people deal with different things that affect their mental health,
Yes.
yet they come to church. So if I don't bring it up, if I don't talk about it, again, that kind of creates the other versus us together. Sharing values. What is important, right? What are those things that are high for me in the church and my community? And how does that align with mental health? Because our values impact who we are, the decisions that we make. And when we do things against our values, it brings up a lot. And so having that conversation of that community, that connection, I think is really, really important. And so overall, just being open,
I love that.
flexible, being willing to forgive, having open arms rather than pushing people away. Again, the Lord says, come as you are. So we have to really live by that and embody
Yeah.
in the church.
Amen. I love that. I love how you said, bring it all together. I think that we look at it as separate. And then I've also seen where maybe, leaders think that they have that ability to, touch on mental health and then they're but they're really more of a, spiritual leader and things like that. So just yeah, I like it. I
And knowing
love
our
it.
boundaries, right?
Yes,
Like God has created
absolutely.
each one of us for a specific reason. Mental health professionals don't exist just to exist. We're here to do just that, just as that spiritual leader
Yes,
is
you
there to
are.
speak and touch on those things. So why can't we not come together and
Absolutely.
meet this person where they
Absolutely.
are?
Absolutely. All righty, last question is, what's one key takeaway you hope people will gain from this conversation about mental health in our youth?
That's hard, just one statement. I would say the one takeaway that I hope people leave this conversation with is to be open and to give themselves grace and to breathe.
That's good.
Because that's one thing that we have that no one can take away is our breath. And sometimes a deep breath can be the critical point in the decision that we are making. We can go one way or another, and that deep breath can help center us and to keep us going, even in times where we don't feel like we have control.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, this is a conversation that is not had enough, I think, in our community. So again, this information was invaluable. Thank you again for coming on. If
Yes, thank you for
anybody, I
having me.
don't, you're welcome. If anybody is wanting to reach out to you, if they have any questions or if they want to have a session with you, are you available for that type of communication or appointments?
So I'm available for communication and very soon in the near future, hopefully for appointment.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. How can are you on social media or how can we find you?
So I am on LinkedIn, so you can find me by my name. And as soon as I have more information about my next endeavors, I will definitely send that to you to add here, so people can know where to find me. And if they search my name, they can probably find me.
Good. Because I think we may, I mean, we never know how far this goes, but again, this is
Absolutely.
good information.
Absolutely.
All righty.
Any way
Thank
I
you
can help
again.
and support anyone in the community, for sure.